Brad Gross wants everyone using AI-generated MSAs. Google's Bard cast shadow on their stock ticker. And here's a game plan for your cloud defense. These stories and much more in today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the February 10th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. I'm in the yellow. Eyebrows are on bleak. I would like to big shout out to Simon for making sure that we're looking good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I don't think our audience knows that or realizes that our show note checklist, what we do before we start every episode, has a checkbox for our Tony's eyebrows on fleek. Like, it's a legitimate part of our getting prepared process. To which you guys will be able to see behind the scenes on Discord soon. We're working on that. So join the Discord now so we can get involved in it.
Love it.
But what I wanted to talk to you about, Tony, obviously not here at MMN. Here at MSP Media Network, everybody you work with is your friend, your confidant, your family member. I know that. But have you, I bet over your lifetime, you've had to deal with frustrating team members sometime or another, right?
Yes.
Was that a look around real quick before I say yes?
Did you see that? I'm like, do I hear anyone around me? Yes.
Well, I have a solution for you. So this article covers on Inc.com covers seven strategies to deal more effectively with frustrating team members. I don't think seven's enough, but I'll cover the first. You know, I'm just saying, and there wasn't a bottle of anything anywhere on here, so I have to question the validity of the conversation. But It covers stuff like share your time constraints early in every discussion and adjust your interaction style to be accommodating, which makes me believe they want me to like come halfway and, you know, it's not completely them. I might be part of the problem, which I refuse to accept. So I'm going to go ahead and call Balderdash. But for the MSP audience, go ahead and read the article. Tell me if these things would help you. Tony, do you think telling your coworkers, these are my time constraints, but I will try to be more accommodating, you think that's going to help you?
I think there are more politically correct ways to say things, and I don't know if that is, oh, that's crossing the line. Please excuse me. I'm having a sip of my.
Go to our swag shop. Matt hates when I use that word. Go to our shop and pick up MMN mugs or MSP Dispatch mugs. I love it.
Like this too. Like that. That was not coordinated.
It is fantastic. So Tony, this is the kind of thing that makes me want to get into the news, man.
Dude, that's a great idea. Let's get into the news. Coming out on my first story, straight from LinkedIn.com, there were two working titles for this article. The first, favored by my associates, was AI-created agreements that will kill your company. The second one, that was actually used because I do have kids in college, and college is expensive.
Tony, I don't think that's your article. And I'm not saying you would use other people's words to do this, but I kind of saw somebody else's picture at the top.
Who was that?
I think it was a friend of the MSP channel, Mr. Brad Gross. Oh! You know, why don't we bring him on here? Yeah. What's up, Brad? How you doing, man?
His eyebrows are on fleek. And while I was in the back, you know, in the green room, I had to Google what on fleek.
clearly. You learn so much here, man.
I do. The more you know. Right.
Oh, hi, Brad.
Your eyebrows are awfully good to see you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. So, thanks for joining us, dude. It's awesome. Obviously, your article caught my attention. It was actually brought up to me before I even got a chance to see it for myself. So, it was being talked about in some of the channels. but not saying Tony wasn't doing you justice, but can you give us some background on this? You jokingly called it every MSP should use ChatGPT for their MSAs. Yes. Why don't you give us the real deal?
So here's the real deal. Well, let me give you some background first. You know, this is a technology law firm. We deal in tech all the time, and associates here are simply enamored with ChatGPT. I don't understand why, but they are. And so with that as a backdrop, I was perusing some online MSP forums, and someone, or actually more than one person, had posted a ChatGPT created master services agreement, MSA. And, you know, the surprise, as I wrote in my article, there's both a surprising part and a shocking part. Well, you know, the surprising part is that even somebody would go online and post this thing and say, oh, it looks pretty good, which is what a lot of the comments said. They said, oh, it looks pretty good. You could have you could just tweak this thing. Your customers will sign it.
I mean, it was written in English. It's decent grammar. That's all it takes, right?
Of course, that's all it is. There are words and there are verbs and nouns in every sentence. And what the most surprising or shocking comment that I saw was that whoever posted it said, I actually used this and the customer signed it and said it was a good agreement. It looked like it was written by a lawyer, something like that. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, all right, we could either, you know, I could either respond by saying, listen, this isn't the way you could go, and so on and so forth. But I'm a sarcastic guy to begin with, so I figured I have to make a statement, and it has to be in the way that I do it. So the title of my article that I wrote on LinkedIn was, I encourage you to use ChatGPT for your next agreement because I have kids in college, and college is expensive. And that's the truth, because if they're using that kind of an agreement, they should just whip out their checkbook now. I'll tell them who to make it out to, and we'll just get started that way.
It's like when the MSP is losing or talking to a prospective client, and they're like, no, I'm going to go with this other company. They say, I don't really need backups. I don't really need, you know, edge protection. We don't need this zero trust networking stuff. It's crazy. We're not that complicated. And you just sit there and wait. You're like, okay, you'll be back. Like, let them show your value. Why not?
And they're going to be back after they've hit rock bottom. Right,
Brad, can I ask why? So and for the record, this morning I taught a cybersecurity class at my kid's school, and you know, we were talking about the basics, and I said blah blah, and someone said there's something called chat. I got ChatGPT, and then the teacher immediately, I mean, her fin was up, and she's like, oh, don't tell them about that. I go, listen, they know about it. Okay, you can't fight this, but you have to tell them how to deal with it. And then I talked about the positives of it, and I made it very clear that this will destroy your ability to correlate data because this is your single source trust. However, it will, just my opinion, completely flatten the landscape when it comes to individualized learning. And now everybody has a tutor available now, like right now, for everything. Right. As opposed to Google, where you have multiple points of, and they have to correlate the data, blah, blah, blah. The point I'm trying to make to you is there are good and bad points, and we all said the exact same thing about Google. Everyone said the exact same thing about search engines, Alta Vista. Right. I remember all the debates. What are your thoughts on this?
Look, the Casio watch with the calculator, remember?
Oh my gosh, yes. We're going to
destroy our brains.
Yes. Oh, that's a good point. But does this specifically relate to legal agreements? Does it specifically relate to like an MSA, to a vendor-customer relationship agreement, a legal agreement, or is it just in general? What are your thoughts and why?
All right. So I'll tell you this. The ChatGPT, the AI algorithms, as you said, they're able to put words together to sound reasonably plausible. Sometimes we'll go even beyond that, more even beyond plausible, just to outright, oh, it sounds good. The issue that AI has not been able to conquer, and I don't think it will conquer for a very long time, I'm not saying never, I'm saying for a very long time, is that when you're dealing with a contract, you're not just dealing with legal. Okay. Everybody thinks that, I'm going to provide you a service. You're going to pay me. I've limited my liability and that's it. Legal is all well and good, but MSPs don't live in the world of legal. They live in reality. They're not constantly worried about, am I being sued? Is my consequential damage provision really going to hold up in the event that somebody arbitrates with me? They're living in reality. They're living in the reality of customers don't listen to them. They're living in the reality of upstream providers fail. They're living in the reality of they provide some services while they facilitate others. And there's a difference. There's a difference between what you provide and what you are reselling and facilitating. And we're going to allocate responsibilities and liabilities accordingly. That's reality. And AI can't capture that yet. The only way to capture that is by being immersed in it for the past, you know, X number of decades, and understanding the realities that occur. So when somebody posts something online, like this ChatGPT agreement, that certainly says we're going to provide you a service, you're going to pay us, and our liability is limited. Okay, I mean, that's a slow ground ball to first base. But there are a lot of other plays in the game. And that was my point. My point is that...
Do you think that this came from people? Because AI, the true AI, there's analytics and there's a variety of, you know, subsets of this, but true AI...
Which should doesn't be able to create...
Shh, don't steal my thunder. You just killed the whole story. True, in this case, can create something from nothing. Okay. And now the nothing in theory comes from the you and I, where we have the cadence, the data retention, the experience, and then we can compile something from nothing. It's not actually nothing. It took a lot of something to create that nothing. But AI in this particular case is saying, hey, give me a contract that does X, Y, and Z, and it ignores all the minutia, but it hits the core pillars and it does it very eloquently. So is this from the MSPs that are talking about this, talking about now we can now create something from nothing because we don't have the resources of Brad? Is that, do you think that's maybe it's just that particular caliber of user or individual in this case?
Yeah, I think that that's what they're thinking. They're thinking we could create something from nothing. But as you just pointed out, you know, what AI does now currently, if you actually understand, and not you specifically, if people understand the current state of AI, what it does is it pulls in hundreds and thousands and millions of different documents and analyzes them and goes, you know, and tries to figure out a solution or a paradigm that fits. It's not creating it out of experience. It's really just seeing data that's out there and hoping to correlate things together in a way that makes sense. And that's well and good to, you know, that's step one. But MSPs don't stop at step one. They stop at, you know, there's step two and three and four and five. And that's the kind of thing that isn't going to be accommodated by AI at this point. I haven't seen an example of it. The few examples I've seen in any context are rudimentary at best.
Well, I really want to see, like, you know, them walk into court and you know, bring the computer with ChatGPT there to defend them in court. You know what I mean? If ChatGPT functioned as the attorney to write the MSA, I mean, maybe it could pass the bar. Who knows?
Oh my gosh!
No, the future is coming. The future is coming. But it was just shocking to see people say, yeah, I think you could just tweak this a little bit and run with it. And I'm thinking there's so much wrong with what you're talking about that I can't tell you what's wrong. I'm just going to ask you question after question. Yeah. And you come to the conclusion that it's way off base.
Wow. Brad, thank you so much for your time today. And just a quick, this is a little foretelling. I think our next story is something about the amount of data and things that could go wrong with it, but we'll get to that. Foretelling. But before we get there, Brad, thank you so much for your time today and your insight. Welcome, seriously.
Guys. Thank you very much, dude. Your contact information is below. It's on the screen. You go to all the conferences. Are you going to Write a Boom?
I'm not going to Write a Boom. Not this
year. So you go to nearly all the conferences.
Nearly all the conferences. I have a conference in Phoenix I'm going to. I will certainly be at the CompTIA events with Tony in the future and so forth. But
we'll be there.
Yes. Our paths will cross again this year, for sure.
Well, we're all Florida guys, too, on this call right now. So that works. Brad, thank you so much. MSPs, he is the premier attorney for MSPs. He knows his stuff. Please reach out to him. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks Brad. And your eyebrows are on fleek.
In our second top story, Alphabet shares dive after Google AI chatbot Bard flubs an answer in an ad. Written by Martin Coulter and Greg Benziger for Reuters. Alphabet Inc. lost $100 billion in market value Wednesday after the company event failed to impress and its new chatbot shared inaccurate information on a promotional video posted on Twitter. In the advertisement, a short GIF shows an example of a Q&A with Bard. What new discoveries from the James Webb Space Telescope can I tell my 9-year-old about? The query reads. The AI quickly spit out three ideas, including the last one that says, JWST took the very first pictures of a planet outside our own solar system. These distant worlds are called exoplanets. Exo means from the outside. Although a bit about exoplanets is accurate, the first part saying that JWST took the first pictures is actually wrong. The honor belongs to European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope, VLT, in 2004, as confirmed by NASA. At the time of writing, Bard ad already had over 1 million views on Twitter. Tony, this is AI gone bad, or Bard. You know, $100 billion is a hefty price to pay for relying on something that maybe is not fully fleshed yet. Huh?
I'm simultaneously torn between bad Bard. Is that going to be the new? Oh man, that's really Bard.
Bad, like, Bard would be a great, like, ransomware. Don't get any ideas, bad guys. But yeah, it would.
And they could use ChatGPT to write that ransomware. Anyway, and also there's VLT, the Very Large Telescope. It's like BOF. Browse on Fleek. Like, I'm just like Very Large Telescope. That's our name. The point I'm trying to make out of this whole thing is, wow, it's Google. Maybe, and I'm just throwing this one out there, guys, I know there was a sense of urgency, ChatGPT coming up. It's been 60, 90 days at best. Maybe, just maybe, pump the brakes, Nancy. Try something out a little bit more than just rolling it out in production right away. And then look what happened. It only cost you $100 billion. $100 billion. Yeah, who cares? I think everybody is so hyped up over this ChatGPT. They're not looking at the strengths the way it could be used. They're trying to create rules and regulations around it to prevent it as opposed to enable it. But we have to educate people. This is just like having guns in the, you know, in the beginning of time. Now there's going to be laser guns. Well, they're just guns, so everyone can carry a laser gun and it can go right through houses. Let's educate people. If this is going to be able to be consumed and used by people, educate people, and then let the cards fall where they may. But coming out too fast on the draw with something that's barred, there's the result.
I mean, this was answered in 1993. A young scientist that studied chaos theory said the scientists were focused so much on if they could, nobody stopped to think if they should. And yes, that's a line from Jurassic Park, but it absolutely applies today.
I get the way it. You dated that too. That was good.
I had to go search it. Maybe I should, now with the story, maybe I should double check it. But Baidu came out with their own chat, right? Their own AI chat engine. You have chat, everybody racing the ChatGPT, which Microsoft invested hundreds of millions of dollars in. Google now comes out with Bard. Bing has ChatGPT integrated in a new beta project. There's the Teams premium edition coming out for $7 a user with ChatGPT built in. It feels so much like everybody's rushing to do this. You know what I mean? And it doesn't scare me. It's not so scary for the ChatGPT side. It's scary for everybody else that's trying to catch up, because those people are taking even more shortcuts. That's terrifying to me. Like, if I see this AI ending up in cars, if I see this AI ending up in, could you imagine? Let's go backwards from the other story. Could you imagine? There was a story on NPR this morning about a judge used ChatGPT to draft an opinion or to draft a ruling. Yes. Now, he quoted it out. He said this came from ChatGPT and it was using his determination. Obviously, it wasn't. The ChatGPT didn't make the decisions. It just gave the words to describe them. But in a world of legal, for example, where every little word has a specific meaning, it's scary. And that, and these, everybody's so eager to put ChatGPT to use. These are the after effects. You think Google's going to learn from this?
I don't know. I'm stuck on the ChatGPT in our car. Are you telling me that my car can then eloquently tell people off for not coming to complete stops or using their blinker, their indicator, to indicate
the direction? Oh, wait. We need ChatGPT everywhere now. I need my toaster to tell me to wake up because I'm lazy. I need I need the coffee maker to tell me not to put so much stevia. Like, I need these things now. But it makes sense, right? Like, and there's going to be now with the world of internet connected cars, maybe we won't have those choices, right? My car, my car's updated 3 times in the last 4 months, and I have the little in screen entertainment system from the back for my kids. And so my son was telling me they took YouTube off on one software update. There was no notice it was going to be done. It was just we're doing an update, and then he doesn't have YouTube. And for a 9-year-old, you know, that's what's he going to do on his way to school? Talk to me? So, you know, but in a subsequent update, they put it back. And I got no say so in what they're doing to my car. They're just updating it. So I don't know. MSPs, tell us what you think. Hit up the Discord. Hit up the comments below. Let us know on Reddit, on Twitter. Hopefully it doesn't tank our stock $100 billion. But you know what? We've talked about the bad. Tony, you're going to tell us how to protect the good, right? You're going to tell us how to protect our cloud.
Yes, I will. Since I don't have the ability to completely plagiarize someone else's story and they're going to come on this show live, straight from VentureBeat.com, top cloud security threats in 2023 and how to tackle them. From the article, they talk about, quite frankly, a lot of best practices, and they very distinctly point out VPNs. Specifically, VPNs for years have been the go-to for the remote solution. But for now, that data resides on the cloud, which is actually putting a huge strain on those very VPN connections, which should be reevaluated. Keeping an eye on device risk management. Moving forward, cyber attacks will rely less on malicious code and instead focus on vulnerabilities created by impersonation, hence the authentication from the device level. Many organizations are still relying on the mindset of, we manage this device, so we trust it. They assume that if you have the device under management, it's not a threat. And SaaS apps are introducing complications. With every new SaaS app, an organization onboard comes with a different set of operational control. Salesforce works differently than Box, which works differently from Office 365, which works differently than et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, the endpoint to cloud security with a data-centric approach. As your organization continues to be transitioning to the cloud, you'll need to think about dropping legacy tools like VPNs and on-premise DLP and start to think about things you can move your security in-house to the cloud as well. Ray, I know we've never talked about security. I know we've never talked about cloud services. I know we've never talked about best practices. I know that sarcasm is not my strongest skill, but are we just... Is this just verbal Ebola now to us? Are we just like, but are these things that we just have to continue to remind people of? Talk to me.
So we've had this conversation before where we've had entire episodes where it was nonstop security. The top three were security. The notables were security. And we've asked the audience, do you want, because it feels like doomsday, right? The last thing we're trying to do is spread FUD. And we've asked our audience, do you want us to keep covering this stuff? And they say, yes. Now the struggle is, you know, we go through three major stories. We have a new segment coming out. You'll see it today. We have the four notables. So of those seven, I'm trying to balance between like company culture, business, technology, all the other partner news, all the other stuff that also has importance. But there's so many security stories happening. Look at, so let's go back to the ESXi notable I'll be covering later. OVH, major cloud provider, had the highest number of ESXi encrypted installations because apparently they do pro services, they do installs on bare metal, and then they hand it off to the user, and then they don't worry about updating it. ESXi or VMware doesn't worry about updating it. The IT professionals or whoever ran them didn't update them. And so and OVH is not, and I'm not just calling out OVH because there were something like 4,000 worldwide. But the point is this, if these things keep happening, I think we need to keep shouting the good word. We need to keep telling people to do MFA, complex passwords, multiple copies, go into zero trust networking, go in, you know, like these, the security, the bar for security keeps moving farther and farther and farther. And if these IT firms can't get the basics down, they're never going to catch up, in my opinion.
I don't know what to say. I mean, you were giving me anxiety as you were telling me about not updated, not updated, not updated. I'm like, I'm having an anxiety attack here live on the, right on the show. Please, everyone, keep yourself up to date for the betterment of everyone around you. Up to date, find out what it takes to update, even all the way down your firmware. Again, just teaching the cybersecurity class this morning to little kids. Hardware, operating system, applications. It's that simple. Now, there's plugins, of course, as well, but hardware, operating systems, applications. You have three areas that you should be looking at all times. Even once, if you can do once a quarter, that'd be really nice. Once a month would be amazing.
And that's the downside, like, because, you know, I used to be an MSP and then I went into the whole VoIP world. And, you know, now I'm one of the shady vendors, like so many of us. Since we were an MSP, I know all the stuff we need to keep on top of to protect ourselves and our clients. So, like, sometimes I look at other businesses that don't worry about the stuff I know we have to worry about. And I'm like, oh, such blissful ignorance. I'm so jealous.
So with that, we should probably get into some notable mentions, of which there was some foretelling in this one as well. This is amazing.
Let's do it. In my first notable mention, Microsoft will wipe free Teams business users' data if they don't upgrade to a paid tier. Written by John Fingus for Engadget.com. Microsoft will discontinue Teams free for small businesses on April 12th, and legacy data won't carry over. Businesses must now sign up for Teams Essentials at a rate of $4 per user per month to maintain chats, meetings, channels, etc. According to Windows Central, the new Teams free requires a new account. Data located in previously labeled Teams Free Classic will be deleted, and any files not saved or downloaded will be lost. While this change will not affect personal use, it could be a challenge for small firms relying on the free version. When asked for comment, Microsoft said businesses either have to start paying or lose access to data and discussions and deal with the inconvenience of recreating channels. The company added that though customers might not switch to alternative platforms like Slack, they might have to reevaluate their plans if they can't justify many paid services. In my second notable mention, CISA releases recovery script for victims of ESXi ARG's ransomware, written by Jai Vijayan for Dark Reading. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has released a free recovery script for victims of the ESXi ARG's ransomware on GitHub. ESXi ARGs, a ransomware variant of the first spotted on February 3rd, targets VMware ESXi hypervisors worldwide, exploiting a two-year-old CVE, CVE-2021-21974. The vulnerability, which in OpenSLP, an ESXi service, which resolves network addresses. Organizations can use this tool to retrieve configuration files that were encrypted by the ransomware. As per the report, the organizations that use the recovery tool recovered encrypted files without paying a ransom. However, CISA cautioned teams to be familiar with the tool before using it, as it does not delete encrypted config files. Instead, it generates new ones that enable access to VMs. They also noted that the scripts is without any warranties, either implicit or explicit.
And in my first notable mention from digitaltrends.com, Twitter is expanding its tweet character limit massively. Beginning on Wednesday, Twitter now lets you post tweets with a maximum of 4,000 characters. That's 28.6 times more than the mere 140 characters available when Twitter launched in 2006, and 14.3 times more than the current limit of 240. But there's a catch, as you need to be a subscriber to Twitter's premium blue tier to make use of this feature. Oh, and be located in the United States. Folks in other countries will presumably get the audience and post longer tweets soon. And my next notable mention from TheVerge.com, Netflix password sharing crackdown hits Canada, but not the US yet. Netflix is expanding its paid password sharing to subscribers in Canada, New Zealand, Portugal, and Spain starting Wednesday, the company announced in a blog post. Now Netflix is expanding its efforts ahead of a broader rollout in the coming months. The company says that the newly added countries will be able to pay more if they want to add access for people they don't live with. The fee, respective to the countries, is $7.99 Canadian and New Zealand dollars, around $5.94 US, $3.99 in Portugal, $5.99 in Spain, about $4.28 US, and $6.43 respectively.
For our AI roundup today, Runway, the startup behind popular image-generating AI Stable Diffusion, announced earlier this week the release of a video generation AI called Gen 1. In an article by Will Douglas Heaven from MIT Technology Review, Runway CEO and co-founder Cristobal Valenzuela says, "This is one of the first models to be developed really closely with a community of video makers. It comes with years of insight about how filmmakers and VFX editors actually work on post-production. Differing from previous generative AI models for video, such as Make a Video from Meta and Dreamix from Google, that generate videos completely from scratch based on a text prompt, Gen 1 alters an existing video and applies a new style from a text prompt. Gen 1 was only made available to a select few invited users upon launch, but join the waitlist. We'll have the link in the show notes, and the AI is said to be available more widely in a few weeks. This is Phil Buck with MSP Media Network. Now back to Ray and Tony in the studio.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, Carrie Wagner says, "I'm with you, Ray. I think companies make it difficult to get MDF funds. Funds unused go straight into someone's pocket if they aren't spent. I don't think I've seen one company in 40 years that made it easy. Maybe EverX. Long live EverX." Carrie, I'm with you. And actually, to get to make things a little easier, check out Tuesday's dispatch. We're going to bring on an MDF expert to come talk with us about it.
And there are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community. So let's see what's happening next week. February 14th through the 17th, an in-person event, MSP Expo in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. February 16th and the 17th, another in-person event, Cybersecurity Expo in Phoenix, Arizona. And finally, February 17th, an in-person event, MSP Rescue, Chicago, Illinois. And coming from the MSP Media Network, we have February 16th at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar opens its doors for a Valentine's special featuring Cynthia Schreiner. On March 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Paco LeBron and Rick Smith of MSP Unplugged join the Tech Bar for episode number 53. And finally, the MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by CyberDrains Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice, or three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, to quote, maybe I'll do a little plagiarism just like you did. So to quote that long tweet from your notable, blah, 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 blah.
ChatGPT, you've let me down again.
How beautiful would it have been to use like ChatGPT to write the tweet, right? Like, missed marketing opportunity. I don't know. But you know what? You know what I do know? We had some awesome information from Brad. We had some great stories. Great way to launch into the weekend. I'm pretty happy with today's episode, man. How about you?
I love it. You know, I love the feedback that I get personally on the back end from the MSP community, talking about how they just truly enjoy listening to our banter back and forth, the real opinions from our usage experience in our past and how they apply to current events. I think that day-to-day common dialogue that I have with people is something that's so refreshing, and it makes me feel like, as much as I get frustrated with repeating the same best practices and ransomware, but I feel like we're actually making a difference, which is good.
If we can get one more person to enable MFA, I'll be happy.
Just one more and I'm out.
There you go. That's all we need, and then we're done with MSP dispatch. So and with that said, thank you everybody. go get your stuff, and we appreciate you. I'll see you on Discord. Take care of each other and yourselves. I butchered that, doesn't matter. Take care,
be safe.
MSP Media Network.
Written by Martin Coulter and Greg Benziger for Reuters. Let me do that again, because good Lord, I screwed that up. Hold on.
Yes. Whatever you do, make sure you move your mouse.
Yeah. Hold on. Are you good there?
Hey, thank you. Yes.
Okay. You're an anonymous camel. This time.
I love being an anonymous camel.
The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has released a free recovery kit.
The fee is, respective to the currency of the country, $7.99 Canadian and New Zealand customer. Oh, let me go repeat that again. Sorry. So close. It was just smooth sailing. I'm going to close this out with no blooper reel. You got nothing on me. And I just made Ray spit out his drink. He's like, yes. Okay, here we go.
It comes with years of insight about how filmmakers and VXX...
Hi. He was on mute.
I was just asking if you were ready. I was doing very important things, okay? All right.